I have a business which involves delivering some products to customers. Well, I have a long-standing customer which I make deliveries to once or twice a year. This particular customer is a family, a man and a woman, and maybe three kids. I stop by their house and have a pleasant chat for 20 minutes or so. They seem like a respectable family. The mum and dad have well-paying jobs. It's a nice house in a nice neighbourhood. I've gotten along well with them, and they even give me some things, like toys for the kids and so forth. We have a good relationship. A couple of years ago, it seemed that there was another lady around their house. I didn't know who this was, but I could only suppose she was a good friend or a relative or possibly a babysitter. Something like that. I really didn't know, but I knew she was also around when the wife was, so I ruled out there being any kind of an affair going on. Not that that was any of my business. This is in a very nice part of the city, a very nice house. They are obviously doing well financially. Seems like a typical American home. A normal family. Until my last visit. We were casually discussing kids and family and so on, and out of nowhere the man tells me he has multiples. Multiples? I thought. Multiple children? Twins? Triplets? No. Not children. Multiple wives. It took me a minute to gather my thoughts after that shock, but it now made sense of a few things, even though it didn't make sense, of course. And by the way, I'm pretty sure this family is not Mormon. Probably not Christian at all. He went on to talk even more openly about this subject. He talked about how there had been another one, but she didn't seem to jive with the other two, so she had to move on. He even, and I don't think he was joking, said how he was on the lookout for an Asian to add to the mix. And get this, because he wanted more Asian food. I had been in this family's house several times and talked to all three of them, sometimes all together. This new revelation had me revisiting these events in my mind, trying to realign all the pieces. I drove away from this visit scratching my head a little, thinking, how does that work, and why would anyone want to make it work? Particularly the women who were choosing this way of life. There's plenty of reasons why the guy would want to make it work, of course. He has all his wants and needs taken care of, and I can only imagine his ego takes a big boost from having multiple women adoring him. This whole thing had me thinking about the subject of polygamy and for several days after. So let's get some facts about polygamy. Polygamy is the custom of having more than one wife or husband at the same time. The specific names are polygyny, where a man has more than one wife, and polyandry, where a woman has more than one husband. Most people think of Mormons when they hear of polygamy. Officially, the Mormon Church had put an end to polygamy in their organization in 1904. Before that, polygamy had been a possible factor in the Utah War of 1957 and had prevented Utah becoming a part of the United States for a time. There were plans in Nazi Germany to allow polygamy because after the war, there'd be a lot less men around because they would have died in the war. The surplus women would need husbands, and an extra wife was going to be used as a way to reward good soldiers. The man I was just telling you about told me that there are 50,000 people like him in America. I haven't been able to verify that statistic, but I did find this in the Gallup polls, poll of public opinion. Back in 2006, found that 6% of people thought that polygamy was morally acceptable. That's 2006. That went up to 20% in 2015 and 25% in 2022. That's a quarter of Americans think that polygamy is morally acceptable. Just for reference, that well over half of Americans approved of homosexuality in that same poll. So what about us? We obviously don't approve of polygamy. We don't have any reason to question that, do we? We know it's obviously wrong. But let's take a superficial look at the Bible here. Let's look at Abraham, the father of the faithful, the one who is a type of God the Father, the one who was willing to sacrifice his son when asked to. He's the one who is rewarded with the promise of great nations coming from him. Abraham had a wife, but at the same time also fathered a child with his wife's maidservant, and also he had several concubines, all at the same time. Jacob was married simultaneously to Leah and Rachel. David, a man after God's own heart, the man who we look to as an example of repentance, had 8 wives, some of those certainly concurrently, and he also had many concubines as well. Solomon, one of the wisest men who ever lived, blessed tremendously by God, had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women. The book, the Bible, that is the written word of our Creator, clearly has lots of examples of polygamy, and some of them are some of the most righteous men in the Old Testament. If you dare to search the internet on the matter, you'll find some weird and wacky arguments too, such as God apparently calls himself a polygamist because he was married to and divorcing Judah and Israel. If he was married to both of them, that makes him a polygamist, right? Also, the parable of the 10 virgins clearly approves of polygamy because the bridegroom ends up marrying 5 of the virgins at the same wedding. On the surface, this could all be a bit confusing to someone who doesn't have the big picture. So let's get some answers. What could we possibly say to answer this? First of all, let's remember that all have sinned. No one person has led a perfect life except Jesus Christ. So we cannot look to any human as an example of how to live every aspect of our lives. Let's look at this in relation to these Old Testament examples. Let's take Abraham, for example. Abraham was supposed to have had faith in God when God promised that his wife would bear him a son, even in old age. It was not God who suggested a relationship with the maidservant to achieve this. God wanted Hagar sent away along with Abraham's other concubines and their children. As Abraham drew closer to God throughout his life, he became more monogamous. After his first wife, Sarah, died, he had another legitimate and monogamous wife. Let's look at David. David started his adult life in polygamy and ended it repentant and married to one wife. David did do some terrible things in his life, but as he turned to God more and more, he also led a more monogamous life. David would put away his concubines and have no more relationships with them. This is very clearly written in 2 Samuel 20 and verse 3. Let's turn there and just refresh our minds on that. 2 Samuel 20 and verse 3. Now David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in seclusion and supported them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. David became faithful to Bathsheba only. This is why he is an example to us of repentance and changing towards God's ways. You can't have repentance if there's nothing to turn from, and polygamy was one of those things that David had to overcome. Solomon was blessed tremendously by God because he asked for wisdom to rule the nation, instead of long life or riches for himself. Solomon's life began with blessings, and ended with all of that taken away from him. 1 Kings 11 gives the account of how Solomon's heart was turned away from God because of all his wives. Solomon's life went the opposite way of David's, turning away from God instead of towards God's ways. Solomon's turning away is clearly hand in hand with his multiple wives. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 14, God commands that a king of Israel shall not multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Let's also not forget to go right back to the beginning with the obvious fact that Adam was given one wife, not several. Adam and Eve were the blueprint for the original family. It is mankind that has corrupted God's intentions. Let's move on to look at some New Testament scriptures now. Let's look at Matthew 19 and verse 4. Matthew 19 verse 4, where Jesus is answering questions about divorce. Matthew 19 verse 4 says, "And he answered and said to them, Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, he said, and said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Notice it is wife, not wives, and also that two become one flesh, not multiple becoming one. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, Paul states that a minister in the church must be the husband of one wife. Some translations add only one wife instead of just one wife, suggesting that maybe that being married is not the requirement. For one thing, Paul was unmarried, but that if they are married, then it should be only once. Because one husband and one wife is the way of God, and for a very important reason. There is a bigger picture here. I found an article written by a so-called Christian who was going through scripture line by line, arguing for polygamy. This article quoted 1 Corinthians 7 verse 2, where it says, "Let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." The writer tried to use different translations to argue that the word "own" is exclusive in one direction, but not the other. The article used many arguments similar to this, all twisting and turning in different ways. They get bogged down in these arguments because they don't have the big picture. The big picture is the family structure that was predestined for man as a mirror of God's own family structure. The physical relationship being a mirror of Christ and the church. Jesus Christ is coming to marry one church. Christ is not a polygamist. He will not be marrying lots of different churches with different teachings who live different ways with different ideas. The church will be one united body, believing the same thing. One wife for one husband. And if you look way into the future, at the end of the millennium in Revelation 21 verse 9, it says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Christ the Lamb has one wife, not many wives. Let's finish by reading Revelation 19 and verse 7. Revelation 19 and verse 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, not wives, hath made herself ready." Let us be glad and rejoice that we are not confused about this subject, and that we have been given the big picture of God's family structure.